A state fire department promotes to lieutenant using a written exam. Every candidate sits the same test under the same conditions. The results come back and 82% of one racial group passed. Only 34% of another did. Almost nobody from that second group is promoted. The exam measures knowledge of firefighting procedure, and nothing suggests it was chosen to disadvantage anyone. A firefighter passed over sues. What standard of review applies? Rational basis, and the department almost certainly wins. That is the single most tested trap in this subject, and if it surprised you, good. This episode is about the sorting machine that produced that answer. Find the classification. Pick the tier. Apply the test. Get any one of those three wrong, and you lose the point. Here is the route. First, where the guarantee comes from, and the threshold every claim must clear. Then, finding the classification and the intent behind it. Then the three tiers, their triggers, their tests, and who carries the burden. Then strict scrutiny, and both roads into it. Then the middle tier, and finally rational basis, and the one thing that still beats it. Start with what the clause actually promises, that government will treat people who are alike in the same way. It does not forbid classifying. Laws sort people constantly. What it forbids is drawing the wrong kind of line for the wrong kind of reason. So the more a classification looks like old-fashioned prejudice, the harder the government has to work to justify it. Two guarantees, one test. The 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause binds the states and cities, counties, and every other arm of state government. The federal government is not mentioned there, so the court reads an identical requirement into the 5th Amendment's Due Process Clause, reverse incorporation. The practical upshot is that the analysis is the same whether the discriminating government is a state or Congress. Two scope points before the machine starts. Equal protection protects every person, not just citizens, so a non-citizen, even one present unlawfully, can raise a claim. And only government action is limited by the Constitution. A private club that discriminates raises no equal protection issue at all, unless the state is meaningfully entangled in the conduct. Step 1. Find the classification and the intent behind it. A law can classify in two ways. Some classify on their face. The text itself sorts by a trait, and intent is built in, so no separate proof is needed. Others are neutral on their face, but land harder on one group in practice. And here is the rule students miss most. A facially neutral law triggers heightened scrutiny only if the challenger proves discriminatory purpose, that the government chose the law because of, not merely in spite of, its harmful effect on the group. A lopsided effect is powerful evidence, but it is never enough by itself. Which is your fire exam? Neutral text? Uniform administration? No proof of purpose. Rational basis, and it survives. Keep one thing separate. Federal employment law can punish disparate impact on its own terms with no proof of intent. That is a statutory claim, not an equal protection claim. Those firefighters may well have a case, they just do not have a constitutional one. So what does prove purpose? The pattern and starkness of the impact. The historical background, the specific sequence of events leading up to the law, departures from normal procedure, and statements by the lawmakers. There is also a shortcut. A neutral law administered in a biased way supplies its own intent. Watch that shortcut work. A city ordinance requires a permit for a sidewalk food cart and gives the board unguided discretion. The text says nothing about ethnicity, but over 3 years the board grants roughly 95% of applications from one ethnic background and denies roughly 90% from another on materially identical applications. That is not impact. That is enforcement, and it is the smoking gun. Strict scrutiny. Step 2. Pick the tier. 3 of them, and you must know each one in its exact words. Strict scrutiny. Necessary to a compelling government interest. Intermediate scrutiny. Substantially related to an important government interest. Rational basis. Rationally related to a legitimate government interest. Say them out loud until they are automatic. Notice the pattern as you climb down. The required fit loosens. Necessary, then substantially related, then rationally related. And the goal weakens. Compelling, then important, then legitimate. Now the part candidates forget. The government carries the burden on the top 2 tiers. The challenger carries it at the bottom and must destroy every possible justification. Strict scrutiny first, so demanding it is often described as strict in theory, fatal in fact. The government must prove the classification is necessary to a compelling interest and narrowly tailored, meaning there is no less discriminatory way to get the job done. 2 separate things pull a law up here. A suspect classification, or a burden on a fundamental right. The suspect classifications are race, ethnicity, national origin, and, for state and local governments, alienage. Race gets strict scrutiny, no matter which group is burdened and which is benefited. That is the counterintuitive part. A transit authority gives a hiring preference to one race to diversify its staff. Same demanding test as a law meant to harm that race. Benign and remedial do not lower the bar. So when may the government use race to remedy discrimination? Only to cure its own specific identified past discrimination. And even then, the remedy must be narrowly tailored. A state reserves 20% of its public construction dollars for minority-owned firms, pointing only to nationwide statistics and no discrimination of its own. That is general societal discrimination, not a compelling interest. The program falls. 2 more race rules to carry. Under current law, race-conscious college admissions do not survive strict scrutiny. A university may still consider how race concretely shaped a particular applicant's own experiences through a personal essay. It may not award a plus for checking a box. And when race is the predominant factor in drawing an election district, strict scrutiny applies. Now, alienage, where the answer depends entirely on who is doing the classifying. Read the fact pattern carefully. Try one. A state says only a citizen may serve as a state trooper. A lawfully present non-citizen is refused the job and sues. Suspect classification, so strict scrutiny? Say it before I do. No. Rational basis, and the state wins easily. Policing goes to the heart of self-government, so the political function exception applies. A state may reserve to citizens the jobs central to running itself. Police officers, public school teachers, probation officers, jurors. Now, change the job to civil engineer. The exception disappears, strict scrutiny returns, and the state almost certainly loses. 2 more alienage rules. Federal classifications by alienage get only rational basis, because Congress and the President hold broad power over immigration and naturalization. So a federal program that makes non-citizens wait 5 years is reviewed deferentially and stands. And undocumented immigrants are not a suspect class, though a state may not deny undocumented children a free public education. Now the second road into strict scrutiny, and it has nothing to do with what group you belong to. If a law unequally distributes a fundamental right, the classification gets strict scrutiny, even though the trait doing the sorting is completely ordinary. What is suspect is the right being rationed, not the group. Three fundamental rights are tested here. The right to vote, where the baseline is one person, one vote, so poll taxes, vote dilution, and some residency and ballot access limits get strict scrutiny. Access to the courts, so a state cannot use a fee to block an indigent person from a divorce or a first criminal appeal. And the right to travel between states. A state that makes new arrivals wait a full year for cash assistance is rationing an important benefit to newcomers. That penalizes the right to interstate travel. Strict scrutiny and conserving welfare funds is not a compelling interest, so it falls. Be equally clear about the imposters. There is no fundamental right to an education and none to welfare. And wealth is not a suspect classification. So a state that funds schools through local property taxes and lets rich districts spend two or three times what poor districts spend gets rational basis. And it almost always survives. The middle tier next. Two classifications live there: gender and the status of children born to unmarried parents. The government must show the classification is substantially related to an important interest, and for gender, the court demands an exceedingly persuasive justification. And as with race, the discrimination must be intentional. A neutral law that merely burdens one sex more with no discriminatory purpose drops back to rational basis. Gender lines get intermediate scrutiny in both directions. A statute letting women buy low-alcohol beer at 18 while men wait until 21 is a sex classification, and burdening men changes nothing. The justification can never rest on overbroad stereotypes about how the sexes behave. An alimony statute built on the premise that husbands are breadwinners is exactly that, and it fails. Here is a contrast worth holding. A benign racial line gets strict scrutiny and almost always dies. Does a benign gender line die too? Not necessarily. A federal retirement formula that lets women disregard a few low-earning years, adopted to offset documented historical wage discrimination, is substantially related to remedying real proven disadvantage. It stands. Genuine compensation for concrete past discrimination on one side, stereotype about dependency and roles on the other. Illegitimacy is the other quasi-suspect class, and courts are skeptical because it is unfair to punish a child for the circumstances of birth. Laws that flatly deny non-marital children a benefit, like inheriting or recovering for a parent's wrongful death, generally fall. But a state may demand proof of paternity before a non-marital child inherits, because that prevents fraud rather than punishing the child. Which leaves rational basis, the default, built to uphold laws. Three features make it forgiving. The challenger bears the burden, not the government. The interest need not be the one the legislature actually had in mind, because any conceivable legitimate purpose will do. And the fit can be loose, because a legislature may attack a problem one step at a time. So a city that bans street vendors from 10 historic blocks, having studied nothing, still wins. Preserving the district's character is conceivable and legitimate, and the vendor must negate every such purpose. Who else lands here? Age, disability, wealth, and poverty. Sexual orientation and transgender status, and the whole field of economic and social regulation. On that fourth one, note the current law. In a 2025 decision, the court applied rational basis to uphold a state limit on gender transition care for minors. It read the statute as drawing lines by age and medical use, not by sex, and declined to create a higher tier for transgender status. And now the escape hatch. Even under rational basis, a law resting on nothing more than a bare desire to harm an unpopular group falls, because hostility is not a legitimate interest. Call it rational basis with bite. A council denies a permit for a group home for adults with intellectual disabilities on a block where it routinely permits fraternity and boarding houses. The record holds neighbors' fears and nothing else. It loses. The tell in a fact pattern is naked animus, legislative history dripping with hostility, or a law singling out one group for no reason except to disadvantage it. Absent that, ordinary rational basis is extraordinarily hard to beat. A word on authorities. This episode named no cases, and that is deliberate. Next Gen Questions hand you a statute and a plaintiff, and ask which tier applies and who wins. They will not ask you for case names. What you heard is the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause, and the same guarantee read into the 5th Amendment for the federal government. If you keep only three things, keep these. Impact is evidence of purpose, never a substitute for it. The three tests, in their exact words, with the government carrying the burden on the top two tiers and the challenger at the bottom. And the alienage flip, because who is discriminating changes the answer. Now the traps, straight from the examiner's favorites. 1. Disparate impact without proof of intent gets only rational basis. Do not jump to strict scrutiny. 2. Benign racial classifications still get strict scrutiny. Helping a group and hurting a group are judged exactly the same. 3. Alienage flips to rational basis for the political function exception and for federal classifications. So always ask, who is discriminating? 4. Education, welfare, and wealth are not fundamental or suspect, so unequal school funding gets rational basis. 5. Gender discrimination against men still gets intermediate scrutiny. 6. Do not mismatch the magic words, pairing compelling, important, or legitimate with the wrong tier loses the point all by itself. And this topic is starred, so recall the tiers, their triggers, and their tests cold, with no statute in front of you. Time for the quick check, and this one comes straight from the Bargo Question Bank. A state requires every person who wants to vote in state and local elections to pay a $30 annual registration fee before receiving a ballot. The fee applies to all voters regardless of income, and the state uses the revenue to help defray the cost of running its elections. A resident who wants to vote but genuinely cannot spare the $30 is turned away. She challenges the fee. What standard of review applies? Option 1. Rational basis, because the fee applies even-handedly to every voter, regardless of wealth. Option 2. Rational basis, because wealth and poverty have never been suspect classifications. Option 3. Strict scrutiny, because conditioning the fundamental right to vote on a fee triggers close review. Pause here if you want a moment. The answer is option 3. Voting is a fundamental right, and a law that conditions it on the ability to pay unequally distributes that right. Strict scrutiny, and the fee almost certainly falls. Option 1 is the trap. Even-handedness does not save it, because charging everyone the same price still shuts out the people who cannot pay. Option 2 states a true rule and misapplies it. Wealth is not a suspect class, but the trigger here is not wealth. It is the fundamental right being rationed. There are 30-plus more questions on this topic alone, each option explained. 5 things to take away. 1. Every claim starts with a government classification, and for a facially neutral law, you need discriminatory purpose, not just impact. 2. Three tiers, 3 fixed phrases. Necessary to a compelling interest. Substantially related to an important interest. Rationally related to a legitimate interest. 3. Two roads into strict scrutiny. A suspect classification, meaning race, ethnicity, national origin, or state alienage, or a burden on a fundamental right, meaning voting, court access, or interstate travel. 4. Gender and illegitimacy sit in the middle, in both directions, and stereotype is never a justification. 5. Everything else is rational basis, where the challenger must beat every conceivable purpose and almost never does. Unless the record shows naked animus, then even the bottom tier bites. Which brings us back to that fire exam. A lopsided result with no proof of purpose is not a constitutional case. It may still be a statutory one. Next time, takings and ex post facto. Practice this topic with more than 2,900 exam-style questions, free to start, at nextgenbargo.com. This episode is for education and exam preparation only, not legal advice, and we are not affiliated with or endorsed by the NCBE or any bar examining authority.